It's good to see everyone here this morning. It's the general term is a beautiful Lord's Day morning. Well, it's kind of gray and whatnot, but it's good to see everyone here. I've had this idea rolling around in my head of a topic for several years now, and just never sat down and put it together. You know, I've had parts of it that, you know, I'd put here and then parts there, and but never sat down and put it all together. So I decided when I got this slot, the timing was probably good to do this. And I hope all those pieces that I've been carrying around in my mind for several years get put together and they come out coherently this morning. We live in one of the most prosperous nations on the earth. We are a very blessed people. There's an abundance of things here. Very prosperous nation. We live in one of the most powerful nations on earth. And I'm not just talking about military. I'm talking about politically, culturally, economically. We are a power. We're also one of the most technologically advanced people or nations on earth. I think probably just about everybody in here has got one of these little things in your pocket that you communicate with. It's a telephone, and it's also a computer. And it's a computer that's got more computing power than Apollo 11 had on it when it went to the moon. The technology that is available to us and we enjoy, it's just amazing. We are one of the freest people on the earth. This nation is a very free place. There are people from all over the world that want to come here because of the freedom. We are truly a blessed people. But there's a flip side to that. With that blessings, or those blessings that we enjoy, there is a curse. There is a curse that comes with that. We don't always see it, but it is there. And there is a very, very important biblical topic that we don't understand, a Bible concept that we don't understand. And let me get rid of this. And that concept is sovereignty. Well, what is sovereignty? Well, I'll tell you first that all this is where all my scriptures are coming from this morning. Sovereignty is supreme power or authority. Supreme power or authority. Now, when we think of sovereignty or sovereign, a person that has supreme power or authority, what does our mind go to? Well, generally, we think of sovereigns, we think of kings and queens, monarchies that are either present in the world today or have been throughout history. We see these monarchs that in history that rise, rule over nations and empires. They pass their right to rule through to their children, and there may be a dynasty that rules over something. Or we see monarchs today as, you know, maybe what we see on television from Great Britain. We see the Queen and the royal family, and we see them as a monarchy, sovereigns. But they're not really sovereigns, they're just figureheads. They have no real power other than influence. And the British people trot them out on special occasions. They'll have, you know, their fairs, and then there'll be somebody will have a wedding, or there'll be some event, and there'll be all the pomp and ceremony of the monarchy there. Or we think back in history of rulers, you know, just I guess in our time, the idea of monarchs ruling has just about gone away. There are very few places where the monarch rules a country. Most of them have been overthrown, the coup d'etat. They got rid of the king or the queen, the sovereign. Also, when we think of sovereigns, we think of nations. A sovereign nation, and a nation in general, is sovereign. There is no higher authority in that nation than that nation itself. But we can also see over history that sovereign nations have fallen. They've been overtaken. They've been defeated. They've been absorbed by other nations. So our worldview of sovereignty does not carry the idea of absolute power and authority. It cannot be absolute if it can be taken away, if there can be a revolution or a rebellion that brings it down. The authority of a nation cannot be absolute if another nation holds sway over it. It's a vassal state. They are controlled. So the idea of sovereignty in our worldview is not really supreme power or authority. Let's look at the biblical view. In Psalms 103, verse 19, David writing says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." The Lord God has established his throne. The idea of a sovereign, a king, a monarch. And then it goes on, David goes on to say, "And his sovereignty rules over all." You know, there is not much that is not included in all. So when his sovereignty rules over all, God is the sovereign of everything. It is not something that comes and goes. He has absolute power and authority. Paul, writing to Timothy, speaking of Jesus, says, "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords." Tells Timothy that Jesus is the only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So we've got an idea here of limited sovereignty versus absolute sovereignty. The sovereigns of this world, the nations of the past, the kingdoms of the past, are limited by people willing to submit to them. Where biblical authority or biblical sovereignty is absolute. God rules over all. Well, our American as a nation, our view of sovereignty is shaped by our founding fathers, our founding documents. Got this up here a little bit early. But the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson said in there, speaking of the rights that all people have, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Governments or sovereign nations are instituted among men. When you think of that idea of instituted, put together, versus someone that has it absolutely. But it says governments or sovereigns derive their just power from the consent of the governed. Whereas absolute power and authority is not given, it just exists. Nobody gave God absolute power, absolute authority. He has it. Look at something else, one of our founding documents. In the Bill of Rights, our Constitution, Article 1 says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. We have in this nation the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, as it says, or just the idea of, you know, we don't like it, we've got the idea to say something about it. So you're thinking of a government as a sovereign nation, absolute power and authority, yet we as a people have a right to address the government. Our Constitution also gives us the idea of elections. We elect people. Just did it this week. So if you've got an election to select the leaders of a sovereign or all-powerful nation, how sovereign are they? If you are free to put them in and take them out, their power is not absolute. Their authority is not absolute. Again, it goes back to the consent of the government. Our elections allow us to change people out. Well, there's some consequences to this view that we have, and it's a skewed view because of the nation we live in. When we think of absolute power, we always think of these limits on it, that the sovereignty is limited. Whereas God is sovereign over all things, we see sovereignty as something that is granted and is limited. You know, it's got a string on it. It can be pulled back and forth. We also have this idea of independence and freedom. We are independent from the government. We are only subjected to the things, to the laws that the government has. Otherwise, you know, we're pretty independent people and do what we want to. The idea of freedom. I am only bound by what I allow myself to be bound by. That is my freedom. And then again, we've got rights enshrined in the Constitution that limit the sovereignty of the government. So our whole idea of sovereignty is a limited thing, that it's limited to what we allow it to have, its absolute authority. And another thing, consequence of it, is the idea that we have in this nation of civil disobedience. If there are existing laws or existing ordinances that we don't like, we just disobey it. Or we go out and we protest against it and break the law in our protestations. So civil disobedience means we only obey the sovereign if we agree with the sovereign. And that is the crux of the curse that I'm speaking of that we have in this nation. We only obey the sovereign if we agree with the sovereign. Or we may obey, but we do everything possible to change the sovereign. So let's look at how our national view conflicts with the biblical view. Our national view as a nation of sovereignty is just something that we give to someone. Let's look at the biblical view. Look at Matthew 28:18. Jesus said there, "All authority," and Jesus came up to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." We saw David said earlier in Psalms that God was sovereign and rules over everything. And then we saw in Timothy where Jesus was the only sovereign. So we've got here in the middle how that happened, how God granted sovereignty to the Son. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus is an absolute sovereign and ruler. He has absolute power and absolute authority. And again, back in the passage in Timothy, where it says that Jesus, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the King of kings. If there is a sovereign on this earth, Jesus is his sovereign. If there is a ruler, whatever, Jesus is his ruler. If there is a sovereign nation, Jesus is sovereign over that nation. And one of the things of this biblical view that we see is the idea of absolute obedience required. The Bible says that obedience is absolute to the sovereign. It's not something, well, you know, I don't really like what the sovereign is doing. I'm going to disobey that, or I'm going to protest against it, or I'm going to kind of try to change that. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You think about the wrath of God on you for not obeying the Son. The book of Thessalonians speaks of it as a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It can be terrifying to have the wrath of God come on you. But the idea of the person who does not obey the Son, who is not obedient to the Son, has that wrath on him. Acts 5:29, Peter wrote and said, "We must obey God rather than men." He was speaking of the Jewish rulers. They were telling them what to do, not to preach in the name of Jesus. And he said, no, we've got to obey God and not man. Not that it is not necessary to obey men. We have an obligation to be obedient and subject to the government. But when those things come in conflict, the sovereign government and the sovereign Lord, the Lord rules. And there's also another view that conflicts from our national view of this. And that's the idea that we see in the New Testament of servants and bond servants. Many of the letters that were written, it will start out with Paul, a bond servant. Others will write that they are bond servants and servants of God. Well, what is our view of a servant? You know, I think of servant, and what comes into my mind is a rerun of Downton Abbey, the folks that live down in the basement. Those are servants. But if you watch that series, those servants are free to up and go. They are hired on as servants. What we're talking about in servants in the New Testament or the biblical concept is almost the idea of slavery. A servant is owned or totally controlled by his master. The sovereign controls the servant. And that's in conflict with our ideas of independence and freedom. We feel that no one should control us. Well, what are the effects of this conflict between our view of God's law and sovereignty? Our idea of what is sovereign and God's idea of what is sovereign is that our worldview affects God's law. And when I'm saying our, I'm speaking in terms of we as a nation, we as a people. The idea is that God's law is subject to the consent of the governed. If I don't like what's going on, I'm free to change it. We feel free to amend God's law. We change it. How many times over history have you seen and read of groups of religious leaders getting together and changing God's law, changing what it means? That's one of the views that is held for forever, and we see it really in this country today, with conventions and synods and things that they get together and decide what God's law is. The freedom to amend God's law is not there. God is sovereign and absolute. And then one of the things we feel is that God's law should change as society changes. As things in society change, our laws change. You know, I think over my 69 plus years, the things that are legal now that weren't. The things that are accepted now that weren't. And I'm not going to get into a constitutional argument about whether they should or shouldn't, that kind of thing about it. But our law changes as society changes, and we think God's law should change as well. In this process, we select like-minded leaders. You know, people in congregations that are, see if I can get rid of this. Trust it anyway. It'll be okay. If anything happens, it's my fault, folks. I'm sorry, because I trusted that. We select like-minded leaders. Folks will get together and, you know, put in charge of their governing bodies in a religious organization people that think like them, that they agree with, that hold their same views. And that spills into our view of God, that we think we have the right to do that as well. And we also do this. We pick and choose our obedience. You know, there are people in the religious world today that, you know, you'll tell them that something is in Scripture, and they'll read it and they'll say, yeah, I know it says that, but. The idea, yes, it says that, but I think different. It ought to be different. It's not accepted. You know, multitude of reasons why it says that, and so we'll just disregard it. We don't like that. It's the act similar to the idea of civil disobedience in this nation today. We just do what we want to. Well, what about our stance as Christians? Does it affect us? Yes, it does. We have that same influence over us that the whole nation has about sovereignty. Oftentimes we think that, well, you know, I know what, you know, what the Scriptures say about that, but this is a sticky situation. You know, we need to be, you know, lenient in this area. We need to think differently about this. As a Christian, our idea ought to be God is sovereign. He is on his throne in heaven. He is the sovereign, has absolute power. He delegated that absolute power to his son. As Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And again, all authority, how much of whatever is there outside of all? So Jesus has all authority. And he told the apostles that he was on earth that he would send the Comforter to them, the Holy Spirit later, to guide them into all truth. So Jesus provided for us all truth. So we have the will of the sovereign. We know we can know the will of the sovereign. So what should we do? We should have the mind of a servant. Think of a servant that is, and you know, slave is a word that we don't like to use, but think of a slave that is owned by a master. The master controls everything of his life. The slave will only do what the master wants. He does not want to displease the master because of the punishment that will come from it. He wants to please his master. He wants to obey his master. And that should be our position, that we are servants of God. God is sovereign. So this is a blessed nation that we live in. Great things that we enjoy. But there's that problem that we have is our disrespect sometimes of God's authority and God's power. We feel free to do what we want to change God's law, to change His authority, to change the things that He says. Now, Rob has disappeared, and I was going to tell you guys to get out your songbook. So, I'm not going to be leading singing, but let me say this. When we as a people decide that we want to reject what God says we ought to be doing, then we have taken a step beyond where we ought to be. We have decided that God's will is not important. God's sovereignty is not important. We need to recalibrate ourselves. We need to see that the things that we are doing as a nation are in opposition to the authority of God. So now you can get your songbooks out because Rob has appeared. Don't do that to me, Rob. Don't go out and hide on me like that. I don't think I've ever had that happen or seen that happen. When we close the service, we in general, as a matter of custom or convenience, issue what we are called an invitation. A person is invited to come forward so that we can help them in rendering obedience to the gospel. If you are aware of what you need to do to become a Christian and we can assist you in that, that invitation goes to you. If you are in need of prayers of this congregation and would like to come forward and make it known what those needs are, feel free to come forward and ask for that. If you've got sins that you need to confess and want to do that publicly and would like to do it this morning, feel free to come and do that now. Or anything else we can assist you in of a spiritual matter, if you'll come now while we stand and sing.